All right. Welcome back to UnpaidMovieCritics.com. I am Mike the Fanboy from MikeTheFanboy.com.
Yes.
I know what you're thinking. Yes, you are more attractive on camera. Now, I'm joined by none other than the amazing, the illuminating, the woman who puts the color in hair, author of One Fixel, Two Fixel, Three Fixel, Four, member of Detroit Film Critics Association and Society, star of week99er.com. And I say that without a hesitation. So Miss Becky Fixel.
Mr. Mike, what is in your cup today?
In my cup is diet soda.
Oh, wow, wow. I expected something fun with an intro like that.
I know. Nothing fun today. I will say, though, yesterday I went to Belinda Carlisle's Christmas party.
Really?
And so I'm a little hyped up from hearing the Belinda Carlisle classics.
Okay. So was this just a special event for the holidays? Or tell us about this event you went to.
Yeah, it was a meet and greet. So I got a picture with the Carlisle.
Okay.
And then she did Trixie Mattel, who apparently is a drag queen who is pretty famous. I have no idea who she is.
Sure.
He is. I don't know pronouns.
you know them. You just don't know which one's appropriate.
I know. God bless. I wish like I'm saying the wrong thing. But they were very fun. And they did an acoustic cover of Vacation, which was really fun together. And then Belinda did a selection of her hits. She did the three main go-go songs, We Got the Beat, Head Over Heels, and Our Lips Are Sealed. And then she did some solo stuff. She did Mad About You, Live Your Life Be Free, Circle in the Sand, Round and Round. And then she did, and she ended with Heaven is a Place on Earth. It was really fun, you know?
That's
and
cool.
Then my friend had an extra ticket. That's the reason I went. It was for all for charity for the APA. She's a really great charity for animal. It's like an animal rescue charity that they do a lot of stuff like overseas to help animals and, you know, little animals that are fuzzy and cute. And so they help them.
That's very sweet.
Yeah.
But you didn't get any of your signatures or anything you'd want there though, right?
I did not. I do. A friend of mine know some people, and so he took about 5 albums for me today, so we'll see if I
okay back. Well, that's good.
Or if they get lost in the ether of time,
which is possible. Although I will tell you, the other day I got an email that some eBay page had loaded a bunch of stuff, and it was one that I had saved as a favorite, and I was looking through it. I was like, some of this looks familiar.
Well, who knew?
How would I know?
Gotta raise money for my Bunny movie.
I know. And I gotta pull that link and actually link it like in our show notes for people if they want to purchase something, because all of that can help your film get made.
Yeah, so. It is true. Like I'm 40-year-old virgining it. I have, you know, and for those of you just kind of tuning in, I do have a lot. I have a lot of memorabilia that it's absurd, is really how much shit that I have. Like Becky can attest.
It's absurd what I have, and I don't like, and I've only been doing this and getting stuff probably the last handful of years. You've been doing it much longer.
Since I was a kid, actually. I mean, my dad started it. We do baseball cards and things like that. And then even in Detroit, I would do signings and CD signings. And then moving out here, it was like, what? You know?
Right.
And then getting into the guilds, and it's nuts. Like, especially this week, you know, yesterday was Belinda Carlisle's Christmas party. And then the day before was Guillermo del Toro. He did another Q&A.
Okay.
That he signed a few things. And then the day before that was Ty Sheridan, who is the star of Ready Player One, which is one of my favorite movies. And through the pandemic, it's one of those movies that
you can watch over and over.
I can watch over and over and over, and it just makes me feel good. You know, it was really tough this season, which I'm sure was tough for everybody imaginable, but it was like there was those go-to movies that it's like, I'm having a down day, I will just join Ready Player One in progress at any point, and it made me feel good. And it was one of those fun things. So I decided in my insanity that it would be really great to get all of the poster version done And they did a really cool thing when that movie came out. They did versions of each of these classic posters, like Matrix, Goonies, Lost Boys, Back to the Future. And they put all the characters from Ready Player One in, and they redid the posters. And so I said to myself, gosh, wouldn't it be great to get all 50 of those done? And
So did you get all 50 of those done?
No, he signed four, and they're really great. Like, they're perfect. Okay. I got Beetlejuice, Matrix, Back to the Future, and Risky Business.
So where do you get the posters? Like, I get some of the posters sent to me, and then they're usually like the smaller ones. I have a full one that's over there in a tube, and a couple that you have sent me that are full ones that are signed.
Right. But
where do you get them? Do you just knock on the door at the theater and say, hey, can I have those? What are you doing?
Well, no, a lot of them are prints. Like, I don't like the big one sheets because there's just no room. You know, fair. I don't, who has room for that? You know, I mean, like, I barely have room for the smaller one. So you can print like a 12 by 18 or 11 by 17. Okay. And it's really, you get the artwork of a poster without having it be like some massive thing. As I'm looking at Michelle Pfeiffer behind me.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the ones I personally prefer. I do have a lot of one sheets. I have a few Harry Potter ones that are signed by the cast, and the Zombieland, and Moulin Rouge, Breakfast Club. I mean, you know, I have some, you know, maybe 40 or 50 of them that are signed by.
Just a few, you know, not too many at all.
I did an inventory over the pandemic, and I think I had about 3,000 mini posters done. That wasn't including frames, Funko Pops, counter stands, props, replicas, hammers. It's obscene. Like, you know, you just go, wow, that's a lot.
Is a lot. And you say that there's some that friends are going to get, and then others that you'll be burnt in your Viking funeral pyre when you die.
Yes.
And that's it. So this is just, you're not doing it for the money. You're doing it just for the love of doing it.
Yeah, I just I've been doing it forever. And honestly, it's been such a fun hobby. Just collecting the different things and doing a whole cast. And, you know, I've met some amazing people. What was that?
Nagging friends at events.
Nagging them?
What were your texts while I was at the event Wednesday?
Well, yeah, because, okay, so Becky was at an event for the new Sex and the City series, and just like that, ..
Which
I'm sure was a great humdinger of a time, as you were telling me. Tell me all about it, Becky. That. Okay, but I'm saying, so she sent me a picture of some swag, and I was like, take everything, because I like the little counter stands and things, and I saw the counter stand immediately, and I'm like, take it now, take five, take as many as you can. Because
I showed you what they gave us, right?
No, you didn't show me what they gave you. What'd they give you?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, the fans, right?
Yeah. Which I will tell you, the performers there, they're able to do the snap with it. Like snap.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, how do you do that? They're like, oh, it's all on the wrist. And I'm like, yeah, I can't do that. Because I would love to be able to do that. And I mean, it's fabric. It's a nice one.
Yeah.
It would have been nice to get one of each character, not just Miranda.
I know. So the other head was Miranda?
No, they had others. So what we noticed, like, towards partway through the event is, like, half of the people there were business Christmas parties and birthday parties. So, like, these people already had reservations, and it just lined up with this event.
Right.
I'm sorry. There was some random ominous music from the other room. You know, when you're working in one room and the rest of the life goes on up there. But
I understand.
There were like four of us that were there to promote the event.
Right.
Maybe give us one of each. That's all I'm asking, you know? So, and
did
then
you go table to table and start stealing things like I would have?
The thing is, like, after we checked in, I never saw the rep again. Never. Yeah.
Really?
Right. They gave us this little drink card thing too. And there were three custom drinks.
Oh, okay.
So if we want to make it at home, which I had the great expectations, and it was not very good.
I'm sorry.
So, yeah. Wah-wah. And then I won a goodie bag, but it was all through the restaurant. So.
Oh.
These things you want.
Is that the counter stand? Yeah, I want that.
You want this?
I don't know. I don't know why. I'm obsessive with counter stands. I don't know why.
Like, I could pop this in the envelope. That's what I was like, oh, that's what you want? Like, I sent you the picture of the red cup because everything there, it's just what the bar had. It wasn't, like, custom anything.
Yeah.
All we got was the drinks and the fan.
Yeah, I don't know why. I like things that stand up.
Okay. I mean,
I don't know. You know, it was when I was a kid and I was at the video store, I would see these little things and I would be like, oh, I want that. And the video store would save them for me. Okay. Like mobiles and counter stands and all kinds of crazy things. And it was just fun for me. I was like, ooh, this is fun.
Did you ever work at the movie theater or the movie store?
My first job, I was a caterer, but then I worked at a store in Michigan called Myers.
Never heard of it.
Myers Thrifty Acres. Are they still around?
Yeah. I had an order delivered from them this morning. Yeah, of course. Oh. Myers is still around. Crap. One of the grandchildren of the Myers couple is like a senator now.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he's also like 27, which is like, okay. But you know, yeah. So yeah,
they were the worst company. They're like Walmart. It's just the same thing. But they had a video store at the time and that's what I went to work at. And then I worked there for a while. And then I went to a movie theater where I was in charge of swag.
Of course you were. You know,
and then I worked at the Fox Theater after that.
And then you were in college and taught and then went to LA.
Get the hell out. Yeah.
So when I worked at the movie theater, and I had it up until probably 6 years ago, I had one of the large cardboard cutout, the standees, like the giant ones of Heimlich from A Bug's Life.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
I loved it. It was in my parents' basement and they were moving. And I'm like, I have no place for this. Where am I going to put this? So that
went well. My grandma, when I was really young, she would go to the theater and she would scam them out of the posters and stuff. And their videos. I had a whole system. I got my whole family involved to get me shit.
What do you mean she would scam them out of stuff?
She would, I think she asked, told them it was for charity. And then she would take, I mean, like, you know, I'm not talking like, oh, here's a poster of this movie. She go, oh, here's a bucket.
So is this, okay, so, okay, two things. One is, the first one's a question. Was this the same one with the bog stuff? Same grandma?
Of course. Yeah, okay. That was my grandma. Yeah, okay. Only one.
Well, I don't know, because I know you were talking about the one that would make punchkis and all of that. Or at least get punchkis.
That's my grandma. Yeah, she would be like, all of a sudden, oh, it's that Tuesday. She would show up with like 30 dozen. And we're like, I'm like, grandma, I don't need to get fat.
But they were delicious.
Yeah, they were delicious. Oh my God.
That's why when and I sent them, you know.
I was just dying. I was like, oh my God, these are so good. And I made Scott eat them, and yeah, it was fun. And then, you know, and it's she would go to the theater and say she was collecting for the Boys and Girls Club or something random.
And then get it for her little boy.
Yeah. I saved them for a long, I still have a bunch. Like, I mean, I got some really cool ones like Showgirls and Christmas Vacation. And
you were a scammer as a kid. That's what I'm hearing.
It was in my DNA. Like, to get the free, but I mean, like, it's not real. I mean, they're free stuff too, you know, but I would get mobiles and counter stands. And then my mom's friend had a video store. Mm-hmm. And so she would save me all of her stuff. I would get like standees, the full length ones. We put them in the basement until they got ruined. But I loved all that stuff. Like, I still do. Like, I mean, if I had a palatial estate that I could do the full length standees, that would be amazing, but you know, you can only do what you can do. So that's why, but the smaller ones are really fun because some of them are extremely intricate, and so they're kind of cool. They really look great on display, and you know, people threw them away, so you don't really get a lot of them.
Well, and that's why, you know, I grabbed you two of those because I'm like, they're just gonna throw it away after tonight. What does it matter?
Yeah, no one's gonna matter. Like,
no,
that's the fun thing.
Yeah, so that one, I was like, I know they're going to toss it. That's not a big deal. Just, you know, I was like, if I were to get more of these, maybe, but one.
Yeah, those are cool. But, you know, I got to be honest. Those are cool, but I got to be honest. What do you do with it?
It right now is going to be put back in the plastic and then put back in the bin because what am I doing with it? Right?
I've got
my little storage bin underneath the pile of stuff that came in. But,
and you would have thought they would have done something with the vote. Like, are you a like they did that with the original series. Are you a Miranda, Samantha?
Right.
Carrie, or I mean, they basically assigned you Miranda. They're like, oh, you're a Miranda. And it's like, and it was I don't know if I'd want to be a Miranda.
That's what I said too to my friend that went with me. I'm like, why didn't they put all three of them out? I know there's not going to be a Samantha because she's not in the series, but put all three out so somebody can grab their favorite one. Because she was like, oh, great, I got Miranda. And I was like, I don't mind the original Miranda. I know it's the same actress, but this version, they dumbed her down. And I have,
you know, yeah, I only saw the first two episodes. I haven't seen the third one, which I heard is pretty good. Scott said yesterday.
It's okay.
They just made, it was cringy what they did with her. And I understand the point of it. I understand what they were trying to do. I don't think she's that. Like, I was like, that just doesn't seem.
She was the powerhouse, the lawyer, the smart one, the, you know, the one that wouldn't take shit. And now she's just this kind of lost mom.
Yeah, it was really an interesting choice.
Where they're taking her next will be interesting, but you haven't seen the third episode, so I won't say anything.
No.
So I mean, I have noticed some.
Is her husband dying too? I'm just
No, although, okay, on that note, I'm not getting into obviously any specifics. We know what happened in the first episode. And you saw the Peloton reaction ad, right?
Yeah.
That was pulled today.
Oh, because of all the stuff.
Allegations? Yes. So, you know, besides, like I said before, he had to die because the relationship was toxic. And if they want her to go anywhere, she has to be single. So, you know, that had to happen. But I'm pretty sure the actor would have been let go either way at this point.
Well, I mean, they shot all the episodes. So,
yeah, that's true.
You know.
So, you know, it's one of those, it's like, okay, well, that's interesting timing. And I have a feeling there may be a lawsuit from Peloton because, you know, they lost how much money when their stock dropped. And then they had, you know, this scandal come out right after they dropped all that money in the reaction ad. So,
right.
You know, had they been properly informed what their product was going to be featured in, what scene, they may not have chose to do it.
Well, yeah, that's something that they really kind of screwed up on, I think.
Yeah.
As a brand. I mean, they basically blamed Peloton. And it's an exercise bike. It didn't cause him.
No.
You know, I mean, the whole thing was a little contrived.
But it's at the same time, there's the people that watch This Is Us that still won't use a crock pot because the one guy died because of a faulty wiring in a crock pot.
Right. And that's, come on, stop.
I'm like, you guys, you know, I've used mine twice this week. So. Sorry.
It's come on. I mean, TV is, you know.
I know.
It's kind of annoying in some level. You know what I mean? Like.
And I understand liking an actor or whatever, but he wasn't even a secondary. He was more a tertiary character. So if he goes, he goes.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. It's like, that's the hard thing when you have a show like this where you have like, oh, the happy ending. Well, no one ever shows you what happens after the happy ending because guess what, it's kind of boring.
Yeah,
because you make dinner and you
and
know
you sit if, on the if couch watching movies all night every night,
right? And basically they would say, oh, look, so after, you know, you get your romance and great, so yay, I'm falling in love, and basically that's text message about what we're having for dinner,
right?
And what time you're coming home, and okay, cool, can we wash the dishes? That's literally, you know, it's kind of boring. That's why our movie is kind of ruined sometimes. It's kind of boring.
Yeah.
I mean,
there are those cutesy couples that go above and beyond for the rest of their relationships, but most people don't, you know. No,
let's be real.
You guys have been together as long as Jason and I have, and you know, have you updated the list of where I'm ordering dinner tonight? Because that's it, you know.
I know.
That's reality.
That's just reality. I mean, you know, it is interesting how things change so much and whatever. I mean, that's, you know, it's not cinematic.
No,
is the idea.
But on the same note, just the thought of going out and starting dating again is just like, that's way too much work.
Oh my God, no way.
You know, I love them. There's no question there. There's no anything, but it's just, oh God, I would never want to do that again.
It's just, no.
Right, exactly.
I mean, it regardless of, you know, being in love and being in a relationship and you're happy, whatever. But that whole situation is like, if you have to do it, you have to do it. Fine.
Right.
I don't know if anyone would choose to be like, you know, it'd be really fun right now. Let's date.
Right. I just can't at this point.
I remember dating, and I remember I was like, for 1 month, I was like, every day I'm going to date until I find someone I like. And guess what? After that month, there were sometimes two dates a night.
Ugh.
I was like, I just did meet and greets. I was like, we're going for coffee, 45 minutes. I'm out either way. If I like you or I don't like you, I'll let you know.
Right.
And I was like, I am powering through this with a spreadsheet. And guess what? At the end of that month, I was like, no, there was not one person I liked.
No.
And it was fascinating. I was like, damn.
Well, you know, and that's an interesting study because like a couple of my friends are currently like on the dating apps and stuff, and they have, you know, besides the whole COVID, if you're vaccinated or not vaccinated and all of that, then you also have to deal with we're in such a politically charged time. If I went on a date with somebody and they started just going off at the mouth about something, oh my gosh, I just wouldn't be able to handle it. You know,
no, it's true. And I mean, I'm fairly independent thinking, like, I tend to lean, obviously, with social issues, especially more towards the left, clearly, as you know.
But, as we both do, yes.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, it's there are some interesting human beings out there.
Right. And
my sister shared with me some of her family's text threads.
Yeah.
And my sister was just like, I can't believe this, you know, and she would argue with them about, you know, some of the, and it's like the news and the media have really inflamed it, especially, I'm going to say Fox really has done such a terrible job of inflaming these wars that aren't there.
Right.
First off, it's like, stop, but it's making up this stuff. And like, you know, that Tucker, whatever his name is, and Sean Hannity and all these crazy psychopaths are putting on the air. Like, come on, people. They're not real. They're just morons.
Right.
You know,
and it's just, and the one thing that always gets me is like when they're talking so bad about the vaccines and all of that. And I'm like, every single one of them is vaccinated. Every single one of them. I'm like, they're just saying it to feed into their base and people are eating it up. And I'm amazed at it. And I'm just like, especially with like right now, I mean, Michigan had a small dip in numbers this week, but this is a week before Christmas and New Year's. And, you know, how is that number going to be? We are showing more and more cases of Omicron each week.
Yeah. I mean, and honestly, I'm a little over COVID. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, we're all over COVID.
I'm just like, you know what? At a certain point, we're all just going to have to live with it and move forward. You know, it's here to stay. And the thing is, I don't know. I'm curious. And I'm not a medical expert, obviously.
You don't even play one on TV.
I don't even play one on TV yet. But I'm just going to say, like, you know, at a certain point, aren't we just going to have to just do our best, be diligent, be safe, but yet continue to live life in general?
I don't think so. But I mean, it's the same kind of pattern they had with the Spanish flu in, you know, 1917 to 1920 or whatever it was. It takes a few years, which absolutely sucks, you know, and we're all exhausted. And just try the bare minimum is all I'm asking, you know?
Well, yeah, you know, it's like, that's those weird things. Like someone, I was out the other day and I'm trying to be good. Like, you know, I was waiting for Guillermo del Toro and it's like, you know, he was having some health issues. I'm like, well, I'm masking up.
Absolutely.
Because I just feel like that's the right thing to do, even if I'm outside. And some guy was like yelling at someone for wearing a mask. And I was like waiting. And I was like, dude, stop. It is completely my choice if I want to wear a mask. If you don't want to wear a mask and he doesn't want to sign your poster, that's your choice and his choice. He didn't even have one on, but it was my choice because I was like, you know what?
It's a little respectful thing to do.
It's just respectful. Like someone taking the time to do it throughout this. It's like, I don't have a problem doing it, but just don't be dumb. Like, if you don't want to wear one, it's outside. I'm totally fine with that. Like, I get it. I'm not like super diligent, but at the same time, if I'm outside in a crowd or with a group, I am wearing a mask because there are morons out there who just don't care. And it's, oh, I have COVID and I'm walking around. It's like, and let me tell you, I know people who, and I don't know, I'm not friends with them, but they were like, oh yeah, I had COVID and I did quarantine and I just went out. And I was like, idiot. I mean, and yes, they are idiots. I mean, you know, but it's like, come on, just be smart about it and be safe and just care about other people.
Right.
That's just it, you know?
Just the smallest thing. And when we were at the event Wednesday, we both had our masks and, you know, no, I think one other couple came in with their masks, but nobody else in this whole restaurant bar, nobody had them, nobody cared. Granted, we're in Ohio, so they've been more lax about it than Michigan has been all the way. I mean, it's literally 5 minutes over the line, but you know, but I'm like, you know, I'm just, both me and the other girl were both fully vaccinated and boosted and I've got the flu shot. And I was like, let's just hope, you know,
right.
Because I have friends that have had breakthrough cases and granted they hadn't got their boosters yet, but I'm doing what I can to not get it. And what is, what is me wearing a mask? How does that affect anyone else? Like, why does that enrage people? So
I'm not one to propone. I don't believe I always will believe that it's your body, your choice to what you put in. If you don't want to get a vaccine, that is your choice. I don't think it should be forced upon you. But I got mine. I got my J&J. I'm J&J'd up. But I don't feel like it should be forced. I think it should be a choice. And I think everyone should get it because they get smart. But like yesterday when I was at the concert, Scott actually texted me and he's like, can I take showed him some videos? And he's like, why aren't you closer? You know, you got there pretty early for the meet and greet. And I was like, I'd rather just hang loose in the back, not in the group, just because everyone had to be vaccinated to get into the event.
Yeah.
Which was great because then we did the photos. You didn't have to wear a mask.
And there's at least
that was a great comfort. Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, I'm leaving in a few days. I don't want to jump in a crowd of people who I don't know. It's like, I'd rather just hang back with a couple of people, enjoy, have my space and still enjoy the music. It was a very small venue. So it was a very intimate show. And I was like, I was completely fine. I didn't need to be right up there. And I was more than happy for that.
So what I find very interesting, like, I know, like, I've always had some introverted tendencies, but it wasn't until like this last year that I've realized I probably am an introvert that just does well in social settings.
Right.
I am totally fine staying the frick home and not dealing with people. I have passes. I can go see Broadway shows. I'm skipping them because there's too many people. So even Wednesday night, like, I was like, ooh, this is more people than I feel usually comfortable around. We were well spaced, but it's just like, at this point, I'm realizing more and more how introverted I probably always have been. So
yeah, no, I get it.
I'm like, okay, I can stay inside and away from people. And you're flying, right?
Yeah, I fly a few days. Yeah.
Okay. And how long are you going to be gone?
I'm gone for a little over a week.
Okay. Okay.
So yeah, it'll be nice because hopefully I'll see my sister for the first time in a while. And
so wait, are you flying near me then?
No, I'm flying to Louisville, Kentucky.
To see your mother.
Bluegrasses, to see my mother. And my sister lives in Ohio.
Yeah.
So she lives out by Sandusky.
So she was really close to where I was Wednesday. She could have come out for a drink. It would have been like a 40-minute drive max. Just hopping.
Oh, really? From Toledo? For Toledo to Sandusky? Oh, really? Oh, yeah.
I want to say it's even closer than that. So... she could.
Well, she has two kids. So
it's she's got a husband.
Yeah.
Okay, no,
I don't
it would have been an hour, but still, she could have come out for a bad drink with me. Which it wasn't.
Right.
So
yeah.
Whatever.
And she's not really much of a drinker, so it's one of those things.
Okay. Well,
but you know, it is interesting. All of that is interesting. And you know, this season, you know, like I said, it's impacted FYC season. It's impacted every season. Like, I'm getting so many things that have been like, oh, we're canceling this show. We're canceling this. We're canceling this. You know, oh, virtual screening series is back. And I was like, yeah. No.
Yeah, especially, and I'm kind of interested to see, especially with the cases going up again, what, like, come January 1st, are we going back to virtual screenings? Are we, you know, because the cases are going up and we've got 12 months till the next award season. So we don't have to necessarily be in person.
And, you know, then you have Palm, like for us here in LA, Palm Springs is probably the first kickoff on the 6th. And, you know, I'm planning on going out for that. It's a pretty decent list of people. And which you can find a recap on a little site called MikeTheFanboy.com.
So where are you staying when you're in Palm Springs?
I'm staying at my house.
You have a house in Palm Springs?
No, I have my house. I'm just driving in. I just drive in for the day.
Oh, okay. Because a mutual friend of ours has a house in Palm Springs.
Oh, really?
He does. It's an Airbnb.
Oh, fun. No, I just, you know, it's not that far. You know, it's only an hour and a half-ish, hour 45. So, you know, my friends will go and they'll get there early and I just join them because I'm not sleeping outside again. And they all know that. So, oh, there was one night we just did it for days. And I was like, never again. Like in sleeping bags zipped up to my face. With I was like, never again will I do this.
You won't sleep? You won't camp outside?
No. My friends, like you know, Billy. Billy will like go outside and he'll like, you know, do his thing. And
oh, poor Billy.
I love Billy. No, he's such a good dude. I honestly, I know I make fun of him a lot. And the funny thing is, like I told him, we were talking the other day, yeah, I'm making fun of you a lot. And he's like, what's new?
Like, what's new this time, Billy, is people are listening. So
yes, all four people.
But it's still four people. So no,
Billy used to do the Comic-Con camping. So what he would do is he would do like a 24-hour stint. Like he would go in, get the autograph tickets for the day or the signing tickets, and then he would go back in line for the next day. So Wednesday, he would go in, get the stuff, go back in line, get a spot, and then he would sleep there all night. Thursday. And then he would do this Wednesday through Sunday.
That's going to be a no.
And that's exactly what I said. But I said, I will join you. And I will still complain about getting up early in the mornings because, you know, I still want the stuff.
Yeah, but so you could get up at, like, you said, what time does it start? Probably 9 or 10?
They let people in around 7:30. It's different now. The whole thing is different because it all went online to prevent people from having to do this, which was stupid because I do feel like it was one of those things. If you really wanted something, you could at least have a shot at it.
Right.
Now, you know, if you wanted a certain signing, it's luck of the draw. You know, there's no rhyme or reason to it. So it kind of sucks because if I really wanted that Suicide Squad signing, yeah, he would camp out for a day and a half, you know, to at least get a chance to draw. At least you have a chance, you know.
Yeah.
And nowadays, there's nothing like that. But, you know, it is what it is. In some level, it kind of took a lot of the pressure away, but it does suck for that, you know. And people that were fans of True Blood, they were like, oh, I'm going to camp out and I want that True Blood signing. That's it, you know, and they would do it. And you would see people even ahead of us because they let the line in and then it gets kind of clusterfucky. Yeah. And then, you know, and this woman drew and she didn't get it. And she just looked at the guy with sadness and tears in her eyes. And he was just like, get the fuck out of line. And no, he didn't.
He doesn't care either way.
He's like, yeah, sorry. And she just was like, you just saw her like moping down. And it was like, oh, everyone felt for her.
Right.
Because, you know,
that's what she was there for.
She was there for that. And she just spent the night outside for that and didn't get it, you know. And there was one time, I will tell you, at Comic-Con, everyone wanted Game of Thrones. And yeah. I was like, I couldn't do Game of Thrones because I had an Outlander signing at the exact same time. So I picked it for iZombie and everyone made fun of me. Like I was the first person to pick for iZombie. Everyone made fun of me. Like the security was making fun of me.
That's and I drew. So good, though. I love that.
No. And it is, but when you compare, like, you know, popularity.
Right, yeah.
And I picked and I didn't get it. I got a loser. And I literally, I was like, oh my God. And Billy, Billy's like, he goes, dude, you got to give it to him. You got to give it to him. That's too funny. And the security's like, give it to him. Like, it's just give it to the dude. Nice. Like, that's just, yeah, no one else is going to care that much, you know? I'm like, dude. And so he did. But there was another year after that. It was, I had a friend, Billy had a friend helping, and I made him give me one of his friends to help. Because we worked together on something. I forgot why. I forgot why.
It's fair.
It was a good idea. But I drew for Ready Player One, which ironically, you know, Ty shared him, and I didn't get it. And I was so, and another guy, he drew and he got it. So I still got the signing, but I didn't get it. And that was like one of the first times I drew for the Warner Brothers thing after sleeping outside, or me showing up in the morning, which for me, that's the equivalent of sleeping outside because I hate getting up.
Right. I was going to say, even when I stayed there, you were up at like 10. So like,
I'm not an early riser. I hate mornings. I like staying up late.
You're very Garfield.
I'm very Garfield. Mornings are like torturous hell. And so no. But
I mean, if you're doing it for like a day, that's all that matters. I mean, it's like for me, today I could still be asleep, but you know, it's one of those things. If it's something like a flight, I'll be up at 2:30 a.m. I'm good. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's do it. And it's just that one day. I'll be tired later. Coffee helps. Just keep going.
Right. No, that's fine with me too. I just, Comic-Con's a whole different demon, which I don't think you've ever experienced, have you?
Not real Comic-Con. I've been to Motor City Comic-Con, which is, I'm sure, nothing. So when COVID is over, or it's, yes, I say air quotes that nobody can hear, but when it's over, then we'll figure out when the next Comic-Con is, and I'll have to come out for that, and we'll just...
Yeah, you know, it's something to definitely experience at least once.
Right.
I've gone, you know, for 20 years. Ever since I lived in LA, I had friends that were part of Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. So I lived in a building, and my friend Carolyn upstairs, her dad was Walt Kelly.
Okay.
And Walt Kelly was one of the artists behind a comic strip called Pogo. And so she did some panels and things like that. And so it would be like, how many badges? You should come to Comic-Con. How many badges do you want? And I'm like, I don't know, 7. We'll do a little, you know, I brought a bunch of friends. And then all of a sudden that changed, you know, it was like, I might be able to get one. And then it turned into, you know, we can't get you anything. But for a long time, that's how I got my badges. And then I got press passes. So now I'm just there covering it as press. But I don't know how people, and this is pre-pandemic clearly, but I don't know how people handled it, because you had to go through a lottery for hotels, a lottery for parking, a lottery for tickets. How is it fun? I mean, and I have, you know, friends who can get me a hotel, who can get me parking, who can do this and help me out, because you've built relationships over these years. And then that's still not guaranteeing you're going to get into anything. You're still waiting 5 hours in line for the Amazon activation, you know, which I, you know, because you're pressed, you get invited to go early to check out. And so it's like, all right, cool, I'll do that. And it's still a 45-minute wait. How are you waiting all day long for this stuff?
I mean, even the local one, just the standing in lines to meet or to go into panels. And the one I went to here, we had panels for Lost Girl and some other ones that we went to.
Yeah.
And we were up front as press, taking photos, recording stuff, whatever. They had another panel we were going to do right after. They made everybody leave, including press. And then everybody stormed and took all the press seats. So we were like in the back, and I was like, even my telephoto, I can't get good shots here.
Right.
So I was like, it's not worth it to me. So after that, and then the current rep, I haven't worked with her on this, but I've worked with her on other stuff. I'm not going to beg for tickets. to, you know.
Yeah.
And the line, like, for parking, you don't have any early access to anything as press there. Their press room was honestly the size of my office here, which is a standard bedroom. They had a folding table in it. The lights were out. There was nothing. There weren't, I don't even know if there were chairs, but there was like nowhere to plug anything in, nothing. That was their press room. And I was like, if I wanted to write something, if I wanted to do something, if I had to charge my phone, maybe a place to sit might be nice.
Well, yeah.
But they treat press at the local one horribly. So I won't go and do it anymore. And it's not different here year to year. We don't have activations. They bring in a bunch of people that were on shows in the 60s and 70s usually. And then they have a bunch of stuff you can buy. I usually go to People Watch. Cons. That's about it.
Yeah. You know, it is what it is. It's like, you know, but yeah, Comic-Con is it used to be a lot of fun. I'm not going to lie. I have some really wonderful memories from it, and I still have a good time. It just has changed absurdly.
Yeah.
And I'm very thankful that I still have friends that, you know, go. We can all go and have a good time and, you know, make the best of it. But right. If I was just going now for the first time, forget it. Like, I would be so frustrated. Because you would think, you know, back then you could figure out how to navigate the system and run around, but it took time. And then it's like, you know, people don't understand. It's like, you know, I remember one year there was a signing for Community at the Sony booth and Breaking Bad the next day. And even though I have not seen Breaking Bad to this day, I really wanted the Breaking Bad signing.
Yeah.
And so I kept talking to the lady in charge. Oh, we don't have anything. It's going to be first come, first served in the morning. And I was like, you know, it's going to be a disaster, right? And she's like, no. I go, listen, it's going to be a disaster. But, you know, whatever. She's like, well, I know you really want it. I'll make sure you get it. Right? Famous last word. But okay, cool. But she was super sweet. One of the nicest people ever. And so then the next day when Community hit, she was just like, her face was pale, like her eyes were like, oh my God, what happened?
Right.
And I was like, yep. Told you. And she's like, she goes, I don't even know. I go, okay, so I was like, you need to give out tickets and then the tickets will get you in. And she's like, that's a great idea. She's like, I'm going to do that. She's like, come back at 1:00. And she had these oversized tickets and she's like, don't tell anybody. And I'm just going to pick people that keep asking about it. And then do it. So it's kind of like a secret signing, even though it wasn't, because I didn't know how to do it. And so I came, I was there at 12:59 with my friend. And she went, don't tell anybody, blah, blah, blah. I'm sure I won't tell anybody. You know, I told everybody. And I had to all my friends, because that's your community. You know, you get people signing and they help you. Yeah. And that's just how it is. So basically, I got my tickets. And then I texted everybody. And then everybody else went up and talked to them and da 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 da. And then the next morning, security had sectioned off where people had the tickets. And oh my gosh, it was like pandemonium. I've never seen so many people from the booth to the floor. To see that, it was a sea of people.
Yeah.
And security took the people and then had the tickets and they said this was the way it was. And oh my gosh. But that's the thing, you know, if you wouldn't know how to navigate this system and how many people to ask and who to ask, and they had to scout out who to ask and try to fit. There's no rhyme or reason.
Right.
You know, it's like, you just have to learn that person looks like they know something. You don't know if they do. And that person clearly doesn't.
That's kind of like every convention, you know, it's not just Comic-Con though, you know?
Right.
So, but when COVID is over with those magical air quotes, everyone can hear, then we'll work something out, because I would like to experience that at least once. But I do know, like, starting hopefully next fall, I want to start going to the film festivals. Mm-hmm. I want to start doing that, you know, because that is such a big part of my site now. I would have done it this year, except the whole, you know, COVID and flying and all of that. So that is kind of my goal, like over this next, the next 2 weeks I've taken off. My site is already on auto, except for one movie review that's Monday. But, you know, working and building towards that and working on the entertainment stuff, seeing as that's what we do all the time. So,
well, right. And, you know, I'll tell you, it's the festivals are really good. This year, you know, film, as we have talked about, is just lackluster at best. And I don't know
it's a good intro year.
It's a good intro year, but can you blame? I don't know if you can even blame COVID for it.
No.
Because it really is just what the fuck is out there right now. And it's terrible.
Also this doubled up of movies, though, because they're all the ones that were delayed, plus the ones that were supposed to come out. So we should have more. We should have good.
And it's not.
Yeah, I have an article coming up, and it's like my top 10 picks of the year. And I do it every year. And I struggled. Yeah. I struggled finding 10 that I really liked. I went through all of my reviews.
And yeah.
I got there. I gave one honorable extra one because, you know, it's kind of a goofy one. But, you know, I finally got there. But it was like, it took a little work. And a lot of them came out in the last couple months.
Right. And because, I'm sorry. There's too many depressing movies out there.
Especially right now.
Yeah, it's like, that's like, oh, look, if it's super depressing, let's nominate it for an award. I'm like, that's dumb. It's really dumb. And I'm tired of it. And it's just, that doesn't help anyone.
No, it doesn't.
It's, come on, let's just get real. You know, it doesn't have to be that dramatic and bad. I'm sorry. You know?
I agree. And that, you
what's
know.
What's wrong with nominating a really classic comedy?
Right.
If it's well written, well acted, and well done, and people leave happy, there's literally nothing wrong with saying, you know what? That was a great movie. Bring it on. You know?
And great movies don't have to be this big, dramatic masterpiece of art. They can just be a movie you enjoy.
Yeah.
You know, so on the topic of, you know, movies, I believe that we are actually supposed to be talking about our favorite Christmas movies today.
And we were supposed to. We have like 15 minutes left, so let's start the Christmas movie talk.
So, first of all,
let's do a top 10. Let's just do like we'll just ricochet it off.
Okay,
what you like and what I like, we'll just bounce. How's that?
Okay, because before we even start with that, I am thankful that you forgot, even though you said you wouldn't, what movie you were going to make me watch
for the holidays.
Yes.
It was going to be Christmas Vacation, wasn't it?
No, you were going to make me watch Gremlins because of
Because
of my childhood trauma with Gremlins.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what happens when the movie theater puts on the wrong movie and your mom takes a toddler to go see the Care Bear movie. And it's he's working midnight, so she falls asleep and wakes up to a screaming toddler.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I know, and my sister, they asked her about it. They're like, oh, do you remember this happening? She's like, yeah. And she just laughs about it. And I was like, okay, but come on. I was little. That scared the crap out of me.
Right. So
that is why I will never watch that movie. Like that one and what is it? Return to Oz. I'll watch that one.
That one's creepy.
That one is, especially that whole scene, the head scene, scared the shit out of me as a kid.
It was a weird old movie and
I got a copy of it because I'm like, all right, this one, I mean, I love Oz. I love that whole, the book series and all of that. So,
really do need to rewatch Gremlins because it's such a good movie. And I think watching it as an adult now, you'd be like, it's hilarious. Like
that is
even
the
music, down to the music, like it's so funny and it's so dark, but it's such a dark comedy. It would be actually a movie you would love.
Well, okay, so maybe at some point I will watch it, but thankfully not this year before Christmas because I don't want to. So,
all right. Well, my number one Christmas movie, and we'll just do five each. How's that?
Okay.
We'll just make our top 10 together. So my number one is Christmas Vacation.
Okay, that is in one of my top ones. My number one is The Ref.
I love The Ref.
We watched it the other day. It's fantastic. It is
absolutely fantastic.
You don't expect it to be a Christmas movie, but some of the lines in it, it's just fantastic. Totally
absolutely.
Not one for kids.
No, I mean, and there's so many scenes where she's like, I made this pie and it's mixed with this, da 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 da. And the mom's like, that sounds really sweet. And she slammed it down and then don't eat it. I was like, brilliant.
I know.
I laughed my ass off.
Or Judy the corpse Davis still has brilliant. The floor. And, you know, it just, so many good one-liners in it. And I
it's too bad Kevin Spacey.
That actually, when that whole thing broke, it took us back a little bit. And I don't think we watched it that year for Christmas because we loved that movie. But then it was like, ooh, we need a break from him. But, you know, as long as we separate him from the character, which is sometimes hard to do, then, you know, I think that's one of the first Christmas movies that we put on every year. And we watch it two or three times for Christmas season.
100% great. Well, my number two is Gremlins, because it is, it's so good.
Okay. So I'm going to write these down. So
yeah, you can put that on. Well, we didn't really talk about Christmas Vacation number one, but my number one at least, but
it's one of ours too. So
John Hughes did such a great job. Chevy Chase, you know, again, also someone who has a lot of scandal, but I love Chevy Chase. I've always loved Chevy Chase. I think he's hilarious. I think he's always been hilarious. There's so many movies that he's done that I love, and he plays Clark Griswold impeccably great. Mm-hmm. I mean, but think about like Foul Play and Spies Like Us and, you know, Three Amigos and all of these these comedies. He's done such a great job. And I don't know. I think a lot of times right now it's all being overshadowed by a lot of the stuff that happened on Community and all that stuff that came out and him, you know, his personal life. But I love Chevy Chase. I've always loved Chevy Chase. Someone did a signing with him and I was like, I don't know how to narrow it down because.
Yeah, you've got so much from him.
I have so much. I literally was like, I sold stuff to pay for the Chevy Chases. I'm like, so if I went to an event that Chevy Chase was there and I got this, would I switch it for this? I'm like, yes. So then I was okay selling this to get this. Right. And I was like, because I had a Fletch oversized VHS box, a Fletch die cut counter stand, a Three Amigos poster signed by Steve Martin and Martin Short that I needed to finish, a Spies Like Us poster that Dan Aykroyd already had signed, so he finishes that. I had European Vacation and I had Vegas Vacation. And I was like, what do you choose? I was like, I could probably pop out Vegas. Yeah, I could probably get rid of Vegas. Then I already had Ethan Embry and Beverly D'Angelo. And then European Vacation had Eric Idle. And I'm like, if something does happen, God forbid, to anyone, you know, as people get older, I'm like, then I'm going to sit there with a poster signed by Two Amigos. What an idiot. So I was just like, when I can get it all done. So I sold a bunch of stuff to pay for it, you know, which I thought made sense. But I'm in the Chevy Chase fan club and when it comes to his comedy. So what's your next choice?
Next choice is it's a newer one. It came out last year. I don't know if you've seen it. It was on Hulu. Happiest Season?
No, I've never seen it.
Oh my gosh. It is so good. It's a girl is taking her girlfriend home for the first time. And then the girlfriend finds out that she's never came out to her conservative family.
Oh.
And it is such a good story.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Let's see. It's got Kristen Stewart in it, Mackenzie Davis, Dan Levy. It's written by Clay
Duvall. I did see it. You know what? Really I didn't like it.
You didn't? I thought it was really badly written. And I love Clea Duvall. You know,
I love Clea Duvall. She's amazing. But I did not care for it. I thought it was really badly written. And I thought
I thought it was cute.
Yeah, I thought it was really choppy, badly written. I was very, I didn't like it at all, to be completely frank.
Oh, shame on you. But anyway, what is your number three?
My number three would be Die Hard. And yes, it is a Christmas movie. I know everyone's like, it's not a Christmas movie. It is a Christmas movie. So everyone can go F themselves. They don't think it's a Christmas movie. It is a Christmas movie. It is Bruce Willis's best movie by far. And to be completely frank, Alan Rickman steals it.
Oh, he absolutely and does.
Absolutely. Alan Rickman is like the holiday go-to man for me in some level, but it's such a fun movie. It's so great. The violence is over the top stupid. It's completely implausible and amazing.
All right. So if we're going to do a non-traditional one, I'll give you one of mine, which is The Addams Family.
Oh, okay. It did happen around that time. You're right.
They dump a hot boiling something on carolers at the very beginning. So yes.
That's right. So I haven't seen the original. I usually, when I do an Addams Family film, I'll go for values.
Okay.
And I think that that is actually a better written film as an overall movie. The scenes of the pilgrim and
yeah, absolutely.
Oh my, Christina Ricci just comes in and's like, mine.
Right.
I just plucked that movie.
I love both of them, but yeah. But if we're
the
going
part where she, I know, I get it. When Mercedes McNabb jumps in the water, who was Harmony on Buffy, and she's like, help me. And she's like, okay.
I'll be the victim
day of your life. Boom. And she's like, I'm drowning. And it's like, okay, Wednesday, go save her. And she goes, I can't swim. Mm-hmm. And then she drowns. And they're like, it's so.
Right.
I remember seeing it and cracking up. And the trading cards with Kathy Lee Gifford. So good.
It is such a good movie. So
I'll bring it back to traditional and go Love Actually.
Oh, I hate that movie.
See, it's so funny. Scott hates it too. He's like, it's the worst movie ever. Blah, 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 blah. I love it. I think it's great. And there's some stupid parts, you know, with the extras. No one's going to be an extra in a porn movie. Because guess what? They're just going to do it and go. They're not, you know. But I thought, you know, it's so fun. And I love Liam Neeson in it. I think he's great. Emma Thompson, the scene with her and the CD still kills me. She's great and everything. She can make the phone book interesting. Like, that's how good she is. And she's such an underrated actress.
She was just on a YouTube cooking channel that we watched. Her and her daughter were on there for an episode. It's called
Sorted. I would watch her do anything.
Oh my God. It was hilarious. And we're cracking up because she's just being her. And she's like, oh, I'm going to do this because I'm going to screw them up. Because she thought it was a competition. And it was actually a team effort. So
that's hilarious.
It was so good though. All right.
So fun. And Hugh Grant in that movie too, by the way, with his little dance where he's pointing. It's so fun.
Yeah. I was going to choose another one, but because you said Hugh Grant's a little bell went off, so we're going to add Bridget Jones.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I mean, all of those. Well, I don't know about the baby one, but the first two both have Christmas.
All right. I'll give you that.
I mean, they're ones I watch.
It's so funny how our Christmas movies are excluding the obvious in some level. I mean, they're not, because there are some obvious, but they're not. I'm going to steal one of yours because I have to pick The Holiday because it was such a, I didn't expect to really like it the way I liked it. And it's such a good movie.
It is.
It really is
a good movie.
it's a good movie. And when it was released, I don't think people understood or wanted to see it, or it kind of flew under. I love it. It's such a great movie, and it's not my kind of movie. Like, it seems more foppy English costume drama, but it's not, and it's not really a movie that Mike would traditionally watch. But I always find myself every year going, oh yeah, you know, as opposed to Elf, or, you know, A Christmas Story is so played out, I just can't anymore.
I like visiting the house because it's like, it's in Cleveland, it's not that far away.
Right. I mean, there's little fun things that are a part of it.
But it's not one that I want to watch. But. Yeah, and it's just, I mean, I love the Grinch, the cartoon one, you know, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, not the Jim Carrey.
The Jim Carrey version, no.
No. I applaud
the effort of making it, because I can tell the technical stuff was great, the sets were fun, was good, it just felt like it was flat, and I hate A Nightmare Before Christmas, so.
That wasn't the one I was going to choose, actually, because originally there is one that... You know, and I love Charlie Brown too. So we'll throw Charlie Brown in there. I might have something Charlie Brown.
That's not really a film. That's more of a short.
Right. But so is the original Grinch. How the Grinch Stole Christmas was like 15 minutes.
Yeah, that's also a short. That's why the movie didn't work, was because they tried to stretch a 15 minute
for 2 hours
feature length movie.
One movie that I was going to choose, it came out 2 years ago on Disney Plus, Noelle. Have you seen that? That's not my choice.
No.
It's with Anna Kendrick. She's playing Santa Claus's daughter.
I did see this.
It is cheesy as hell, and I freaking love it. It is so stupid, but I love it. But my actual choice is going to be Last Holiday with Queen Latifah.
Oh my God. Okay.
I love that movie. I think it's hilarious. I love it.
Anything, when you say Queen Latifah, I just go, okay.
Have you seen it? Have you seen
it? I think I saw part of it and I turned it off or something. I didn't.
It's such a good movie. It really is.
I will take your word for that. Okay. And I will not discount it because I haven't seen it. So,
okay, good.
And I mean, I haven't, I can't say I haven't revisited it. I should say, I'm pretty sure I did see it, but some honorable mentions, I will say, there's a movie on Netflix that called Let It Snow with Kiernan Shipka.
Okay.
I think it was Let It Snow. One. It's really cute. Very John Hughes. I believe it's called Let It Snow. And it's very, very cute. And she's great in it. And I really enjoyed it. And also, a movie that I don't think a lot of people see or associate with this time of year, which is kind of crazy, is The Preacher's Wife with Whitney Houston.
Oh, I hate that one.
There you are.
There we go.
I lost you too. The thing with A Preacher's Wife, I have a really good memory of. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a fun movie to revisit. It's not a movie you want to sit there and put on, I think, and pay attention to.
Right.
It's one to have on as you're on the computer, or it just makes you feel like you're part of the holiday season. And I think that's kind of fun.
There's two other Netflix. Well, I think one was Netflix. I saw it on Netflix last year. The Holidate. Did you see
that? Oh, yeah. I heard of it. I think I saw it on the...
It's cheesy. It was cuter than I expected. So that was when I was like, I don't remember the name of it, but it just popped up on my screen. But I'm like, it was a lot cuter than I expected. And I don't do Hallmark movies. So it kind of is along that vein. So I was like, okay, that's not so bad. And then they released an animated one 2 years ago called Klaus.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I saw that part of it.
So good. So, I mean, it still has that little, like, if you're looking for something that doesn't have the deep, dark thing, like a parent died or a kid dies, that's probably not the one for you. But the movie is really good. And Jingle Jangle was fantastic. I don't know if you saw that one.
I did not.
That one's a musical one. That was on Netflix last year, I think.
It's probably because it was a musical. I refuse to include the Kurt Russell Santa Claus movie from Netflix.
Oh no, those aren't options. I don't like those at all. I don't like the Tim Allen Santa Claus movies.
I'm not a big fan.
No. You know, give me National Lampoon, give me The Ref, give me, you know, maybe one or two.
Yeah.
I watched one cheesy movie this year, which was A Castle for Christmas.
Oh, Scott wants to see. He's like, I will see this when you're gone. And I'm like, thank you.
Please have him do it when you're gone. Because I was like, I knew it was going to be completely mindless. I just didn't know how bad. So, you know.
It stars Brooke Shields and mm-hmm. Carrie Elwes. Mm-hmm. Yes, you knew how bad it was going to be.
I know. Stop. And I knew it was going to be their version of a Hallmark movie, you know, which is so funny. A friend of mine is a voice actor and he just posted his new headshots. Mm-hmm. And I was like, so did you ask for the average guy who wants to be in the next Hallmark movie? Did your parents get a tree farm? So me and another friend from high school were going back and forth teasing him about it because I was like, this is like what they're looking for, dude. What are you doing?
Yeah.
So, you know,
it's hilarious.
But so we have 10 movies and 6 honorable mentions.
Well, I think that's great because I think they're somewhat non-traditional.
Yeah.
In some level, you know, it is an interesting little mix. I think it's and off the cuff as well.
Right.
I think it's sometimes great without trying to plan it.
Well, and the thing is too, neither of us have kids running around the house, so we're not going to put on all the kiddie stuff. It doesn't always have to be so saccharine and so clean all the time. That's why I think we both are gravitating towards The Ref. But, you know, there's still, it's good entertaining movies.
Oh, yeah. I have, every time I see Kevin Spacey, I have him sign some version of The Ref. Not Kevin Spacey, Dennis Leary. Every time I see him, he's like some version of The Ref Dennis Leary is signing.
How many ref things do you have signed?
I don't know, 3.
Any of them on your list to sell? I'm offering money. I'm not saying free. I'm saying buy. I'm just saying it's a household favorite.
No, I get it. And it's, I think he's very proud of that movie.
I think it's one that just goes under the radar. And like,
they released it in the wrong time of year. When that movie came out, they released it like summer.
Right.
It's like, Hocus Pocus. Why would you release Hocus Pocus in summer and not October? Right. It's like when you go back and look at the original release and you're like, well, that's why it bombs.
Right. It doesn't make sense. And it's like, and I hope with the sequel that they don't do that.
Well, it's going to be on Disney Plus. Let's be real.
That's true. And they can drop that on Halloween for all they care.
Right. I mean, make it an event, you know, and hopefully it'll be good.
A friend of mine lives actually driving distance from where they're actually recording. So she went and was taking pictures of the set as it currently is. And I was like, oh, I hate you.
I know. Well, what they did with the house, I mean, you could walk right in front of it, take a picture mm-hmm. in front of it.
But no, they rebuilt the whole colonial village. They rebuilt in a small area in Rhode Island. And she lives close enough that she could walk to it. And they have like a carnival scene and everything has like Salem High School. And I was like, you suck, but that's okay.
But that's funny because, I mean, you can't walk through the village, right? They pretty much don't let you do that.
I'll send you some photos.
So she got to walk through it?
It looks like it, yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
So, yeah. And I'm just like, man, if it wasn't like a 12-hour drive one way. So, you know, it's a bit of a hike to get down there.
Yeah.
I mean, I would totally do it. That's normal, but...
Let me tell you, but way back from Comic-Con this year, from San Diego... I was like, let's stop in Oceanside. We did the Animal Kingdom filming locations from that show.
See?
Which literally took 15 minutes because they were all on one street, which was great.
That's perfect. Well, do you write the articles about the filming locations?
I haven't written that one up. I figured I have a lot to write up over the holidays.
Yeah.
Because I haven't written up anything. See? I've been so bad.
And I just finished my list other than The Matrix because I haven't seen it yet. So I can't write my review yet.
My friend saw it and she really liked it. So I'm hoping that it's good.
I'm hoping it holds to what fans are hoping it does.
Yeah, I don't want people to be angry about it. I really want it to be something people like. I want to like it. I want to like it. I liked the second one, the third one when I first saw it. I hated it. Right. I hated what they did with Neo and I hated what they did with Carrie Ann Moss. It's like, come on, you have Neo and Trinity and you're going to kill them?
Well, that's when they called him back and Keanu's like, they're like, hey, do you want to do another movie? And he's like, but I'm dead. So you killed me. What do you want from me here? And I mean, that's a fair question, isn't it?
They blinded him and they killed him. And then, you know, Trinity died horribly. Like they just, you know, in a car accident. Like that was one of the best, and especially for the 1999, ballsy female character. I mean, like, you know, you had a kick-ass woman who wasn't 20 and like blonde with big boobs. That was not a part of it. She was specific. She was non-traditional and she was badass. And she just did such a good job because she's a great actress.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they killed her was so...
Almost a disservice. Bad.
It was a disservice to that character. And I was really upset by that more than anything. Neo, I could go past that because he did it for a reason and there was a whole point. She just died for no point. There was no point to her death. And I thought that was really the worst part of the whole series.
Right.
What they did to her because she was so good. And so, such a big part of it.
Let's just hope that they've remedied that. Maybe they're doing an extra and they're going back and fixing it.
Maybe. I'm excited to kind of see what Lana does with the series. Now that it's just hers. It's a lot of pressure. And I
still find it interesting that it's just hers, that her and her sister both didn't do this. Like, do you know the rationale or the reasoning why it's only Lana?
No, I think her sister just didn't. I think she just wants to be out of the public eye and just wants to kind of
live her life.
Yeah, I believe. I don't know how far she is in her transition or what that is.
Which is also, I mean, it's physical, mental. Everything's changing. So
everything's changing, and I don't know. You know, I think Lana had a lot of time to process it. More time to process it because I remember when I met them, I met Lana, she was already transitioned. And this was, I want to say Cloud Atlas. I want to say it was during Cloud Atlas.
Okay.
And then that's when her sister was her brother.
Okay.
And he was very much a dude. Like we had a full on conversation, super nice through Thurible, so nice. And I was talking to him and he's like, Lana, come over. I got pictures with them. And I was geeking out. Not only Matrix, but Bound is one of their movies that I was blown away the first time I saw it. It was so good. And it was one of the best debut films, I thought, and the most interesting debut films. And now that, you know, Lana did Sense8, and I really liked Sense8. I thought she did a great job, and I thought she was able to weave a lot of the complex storylines through that series that I don't think people gave her a lot of credit for that. So I'm hoping with The Matrix that she was able to kind of go back and kind of see that. But I think now her sister is just kind of wanting some time and space.
Right.
You know, I mean, maybe she'll be back and they'll be doing something together again at some point too.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, fair.
Yeah. Why not?
Right. Okay. Well, hopefully I'll let you know. You'll be already in Tennessee or Ohio or somewhere on Monday. So
not in Tennessee. I'm in Kentucky.
Close enough. It really depends on where you are. Where our cousin is in Kentucky, you drive 5 minutes, it's Tennessee. Literally.
I'll be landing in the airport and I'm like, oh, there's the pictures of horses.
Oh my God, right? Although is it Nashville's airport? I flew through there going to New York because I'm cheap and I will always choose something with a little hop to save me like 70% of it. There was a whole wine bar in there. Like you could just buy a bottle of wine and hop on your next plane. And I was like, okay, listen, good with this. Like this
you
was a
need
nice
that wine.
Well, especially we kept getting delayed due to storms going through. So, you know, when you're stuck at the airport in Nashville for 8 hours or something and you're missing meetings with tech brains, whatever. You don't need
wine. I get it.
Okay.
Well, all right. Well, this has been a fun, exciting journey. I hope everyone had a wonderful holiday season. Please stay safe.
Yes.
And just be smart about everyone does this season, just to make sure, you know, we don't want to hear anybody getting ill or
anymore,
doing anything.
Getting sick.
Any more than it's already getting there, you know? So just be careful. And
we'll be back after the New Year's.
I know. Exciting times.
Right. So, woo-hoo. All right. Have a good holiday season. And we will be back first week of January.
For both of you who are waiting with patient daily bated breath.
Yes. For all four of you. We'll talk to you then. Bye.
Bye.